led by Councilmember Feist.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thanks everybody for coming tonight. Got tech issues, mostly that I'm not techie. So the TV's not working, but other than that, we can hear Don through the speaker. We should be able to get through this. The first thing we have is a public hearing on a zoning variance request for Lot 2A, Block 10 of East Summit Town Site, COS 306-7063. I'll let Jeremy Fadness do the informational portion.
Mayor, councilmembers, there's an application requested for variance. The property location is the very south end of South Illinois Avenue. The applicant is requesting a reduction in the minimum lot size per dwelling unit to accommodate a triplex on the lot. They had originally requested two variances, one for reduction in lot size and one for reduction in the side yard setback for the north property line. We were able to work with them on a site plan revision that would allow them to remove the side yard setback variance. So it's been reduced to just the one variance request for reduction in the lot size. The zoning regulations require a minimum of 3,500 square feet per dwelling unit. So a triplex would require a minimum lot area of 10,500 square feet. The existing lot is 8,096 square feet, which is less than what is required to permit a triplex. So the applicant is requesting a reduction from 3,500 square feet per dwelling unit to 2,698 square feet per dwelling unit. We reviewed it against all the requirements of a site plan as well as the requirements for variance. They meet all of the other requirements of the regulations for setbacks. For 40% lot coverage, they're less than the 40% lot coverage. They can provide off-street parking on the lot. Their hardship is that what they're saying is their hardship is the shape of the lot, the access of the lot, and that there are similar development adjacent to the property that was developed prior to the ordinance. That those lots were allowed to do that, but then once the ordinance went into effect, they are no longer allowed to do that. And so those are the hardships they're claiming. We reviewed the requirements for variances and felt that the variance was justified to allow for the triplex. They will be required as part of the as a condition of the variance, as well as the ordinance, to get a site plan and conditional use permit for the triplex. Anything over a duplex on a residential lot requires a conditional use permit application as well. So this will, if you approve the variance tonight, this will come back in front of you for a conditional use permit as well. But they didn't want to go through the conditional use permit process if the variance was made tonight. Duplex doesn't require conditional use permit, so they can just submit an application for that. So we recommend approval of the variance with conditions, one condition being the applicant shall submit a site plan and conditional use permit to the City Council for review and approval. The site plan and CUP shall be approved by the City Council before the variance is effective. The site plan and CUP are not approved by the Council, the variance is void. And I am available for questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Jeremy?
Quick and dirty.
With the conditional use permit, will that include things like yard, sidewalk? I don't remember.
I mean, so they provide additional information as far as parking, surfacing of the driveway, things like that.
In that application process.
Okay. Yeah, we don't really have any sidewalk requirements necessarily, but it would require all the things that are required of the site plan and conditional use permit. There's a checklist. So we'll look at additional things, mostly driveway surfacing, exactly where they're parking, if they're going to do any landscaping, that sort of thing.
Jeremy, can you speak to the parking? This just lot has had parking issues previously, correct?
No, the lot to the north.
Okay.
So they do own the two lots north of this. They have a resident on one of the lots that has a lot of cars parked on their lot. It's not the applicant necessarily. They have a tenant that's parking a lot of cars on their lot. But this is not that lot. Those are the lots they own to the back.
All right, any other questions for Jeremy?
I've got one. Can the public ask, or is it just the city council?
It's not a public portion of that.
So we can ask questions at the public portion.
It's coming right up, though. We'll get there.
So, moving on to number two, which is the public comment portion of this.
We got any questions?
Public comment?
We just want to make comments.
Public comment. Feel free to have a comment.
Just for clarification, public comment is public comment. You can pose questions, and if the council wants to later address them in their discussion, then may.
That's what I asked.
Yep.
That was a point of order.
Okay, thank you. Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale. The city planner is recommending reducing the required available lot size for potential pervious surface cover use on this lot by a minimum of 23%. It could be more depending on how much additional impervious surface cover is finally constructed for driveways, sidewalks, decks, patios, garages, etc. So the question that the council should be asking, or the rest of the residents, is where is the runoff drainage going to go? Since you reduced the pervious cover, where's the water going to go now? And how are the surrounding residents going to be impacted along with the impact to the city right away? Because all three of those lots are on a slope. That guy, depending on how you're going to do that. The reason why I'm saying that is since this has occurred on a couple of small lot exceptions that the city planner has recommended and the council approved on the west side, which resulted in drainage runoff being discharged directly onto city right away and ultimately causing flooding issues to adjacent residential property owners. And then it sounds like the available parking, you're reducing the potential available parking. So the second thing that needs to be considered by this council before they approve that site plan is what is the impact of the surrounding property owners with regards to trailers, boats, ATVs, etc., being parked along other residents' property, restricting access to not only their property, but everybody else's use of that right away. My opinion is you should have parking restrictions implemented if you're going to approve this variance. Parking is a big issue, and the drainage never gets addressed, and adjacent property owners bear the brunt of it.
Thank you for your comment. Is there any further public comment?
Sally Nyland, 203 Prickly Pear. As you know, we did a right-of-way committee, and we have issues with parking in East Helena, and they're moving forward on it. They're so far doing good. But we have a long way to go. There are ordinances that are not being enforced, and I'm told that, well, we're just not going to be able to do that. And I thought, if we're not going to be able to do it, then we better get rid of the ordinances, because that's what the ordinances are there for. We spent over 2 years on that right-of-way committee dealing with parking. So, really think this through on how the parking, especially with the threeplex, I don't know if anything's been brought up about if they drop down to a duplex, but if it has anything to do with our parking issues, please think about that. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? Seeing no further public comment.
I could try to answer something.
Please go up to the podium.
Yeah, sorry.
There's a microphone there, and one of our council members is available remotely. Thank you very much.
My name is Andrew Basick, and I'm the applicant behind this variance application. And I guess just to answer some of these questions the best I can, I am aware that there's a storm drain in South Helena that is kind of positioned along. It's kind of already explained, but it's a little bit north of the property location that we're talking about, but it is definitely in a shot where if we graded properly, we'd be able to have the water flow into the storm drain location that is currently in South Helena. So we're aware of that storm drain location and would be grading properly to allow for water transition to that storm drain. As for parking, each of these units would have, again, a garage for indoor parking and another parking spot outside the garage. So each two-bedroom unit would have its own two parking spots, which I think is more than most of the current housing in that area where everyone's street parking. This would all be off-street parking, and I think it allows for a lot of off-street parking opportunity. I'm sorry, a lot of off-street parking opportunity for this triplex. So,
thank you for your comments. Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, that brings us to the action item regarding the zoning variance request. Council, any hands or any discussion?
Seems like a lot for that corner, but I don't know that cutting it to a duplex is going to make any difference either. You know, it covers the same area, I'm assuming. It wouldn't be a smaller room, so your runoff problem is going to be the same.
Can I make one statement too, just to clarify? So this is the first step. They still have to get a conditional use permit for the triplex. Conditional use permit will review all the things that were talked about, drainage, parking, coverage. All those things will be reviewed as part of the conditional use permit process. So that is not reviewed with the variance. The variance is just on the variance itself. So if you approve the variance, they'll submit the conditional use permit application. That'll come back to you for review. So right now, they are proposing less coverage than the maximum allowed. The maximum in the ordinance is 40% coverage. They're proposing, I think it's 20-some percent or maybe a little over 30. It's less than the 40%. They are providing two off-street parking spaces per dwelling unit, so they will have six parking spaces on the lot. At this point, that's all I know until they submit all the rest of the documentation. I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Jeremy. Okay. Council, any further discussion?
I'll move to approve the zoning variance request.
Is this contingent upon the conditional use?
Well, that's part of this process, right? Do we have to say that?
I would add the condition into the motion.
Oh, with the approval of the conditional use permit. I assume that was part of the process.
Right, that was the recommendation. So I have a motion to approve the conditional or the zoning request with the conditional reuse permit as a caveat.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Passes. Thanks, guys. Next up on the agenda is public comment. Note, this is time set aside for public comment on all non-agenda items. As you can see, we have a lot of people here tonight, so we please limit your public comment to a reasonable duration. Let's go with about 4 minutes again if you have a public comment on non-agenda items. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move on. Approval of the June 20th, 2023 minutes. In front of you, you have the June 20th, 2023 minutes. Is there any public comment on those minutes? Seeing none, council.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Next up is the city court report. You've got in front of you the city court report for May from Judge Lovelace is in front of you. You can note the financials are in there as well. I assume there are no comments. That is just an information item. Next up is the departmental report. First up is Amy Thorngren with the administration report.
We got a call today from State Fund. They want to audit our workman's comp the end of this month, so we'll be doing that. We did a review with used to be TSEP, now it's MSEP, about our loans, and I think Kelly got a letter a day or so ago that our ducks were in a row, so all our paperwork's in order. Red Fox Meadows is up to 183 connections. That's up from 168. Highland Meadows has 119 building and zoning applications or addresses with building and zoning applications. That's up 19 from 100. Vigilante subdivision still at 49. yesterday about noon, we got notice that USDA RD would be inspecting the wastewater plant. And thank you guys for filling out those surveys. For having a day and a half notice, we've got 6 out of 9 surveys and 1 report ready to go for 9:30 tomorrow morning when they do that. So, I think that's all I've got, unless you have questions.
Thanks, Amy. Any questions for Amy? All right. Next up is Police Department. Chief Sanders is here.
Hey, everybody. We had 167 calls for service in June and 96 so far in July, with the majority of those calls being traffic related. That's some of the remaining higher frequency calls in a lot of thefts. Last 3 or 4 weeks, people leaving their vehicles unlocked and values of the year. Hopefully, we've been trying to educate people and do a better job. Participated in the Chamber of Coffee on the 27th of June, had a great time there. I always enjoy to be there. We had another successful East Helena Rodeo. We only had 1 arrest again this year for DUI, so we had a good weekend. And then last week, due to the increased amounts of drugs being located at businesses and whatnot in East Helena, we were able to get a bunch of Narcan from the state, and that's kind of been the push of the state to get that out to just people in the community and you know, the businesses and whatnot, and we handed the Narcan out to a bunch of the more higher frequency or higher volume visited businesses in East Helena, and was well received last week. So we now have a chaplain program with the police department. Gloria Soja is our new chaplain. And she came and introduced herself to all the officers and stuff last Thursday, and we had a great visit. We really look forward to meeting her in the future. She's got a great background and a lot of experience, and she'll be great for East Helena. And then, last but not least, I've been talking about the record management system and the cost and whatnot. It's going to be a large cost. City of Helena and Lewis and Clark County are both putting $750,000 to those. I've got some money available from our budget, and want to do our part and pay $50,000 to that program, at least for a start for East Helena. We're a user of it, we're a beneficiary of it, so it's good for us, and I think shows good faith from our side to put in some money to help pay for that large purchase. Right now we're they haven't finalized everything. They've chosen the company and whatnot, but I think right now is what the big hurdle is whether they're going to transfer data or not. And it's looking like they're probably going to. That obviously adds more cost, and our $50,000 would help towards that. But it looks like it's probably not going to be implemented or go into service for probably 18 months to 2 years. It'll be great for everybody involved, and will be a lot better than I think the 1991 programs and stuff that we're using now. It's extremely outdated and complicated and not user friendly. So, but that's all I have.
Do you know who the vendor is?
The new one?
Yeah.
Central Square.
Thank you, Chief. And I'd like to just point out, I don't know if you guys caught that in my head, Chief, that the whole Narcan distribution was Chief all on his own. You know, save one person, great deal. That was all, took that initiative all on his own, so been impressive.
Were businesses receptive of that?
Yes.
And how many businesses did you give it to? And I assume the schools have their own, and or did you work with them additionally?
Since the schools are out, it'd be something that we talked I think it was probably about a dozen businesses that come out that visited last week. So it was well received.
I actually heard from a couple of them saying, hey, we never even thought about this.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by. But just
impressed. Never used
by the horns. Yeah. Any other questions for Chief? All right, seeing none. You have Kevin's report in front of you. Kevin is on a roller coaster or something right now at Silverwood. He's taking some much-needed vacation. Kevin, we need to get Kevin some vacation. We've been grinding on that budget pretty hard, so he needs to ride the roller coaster. Couple things in here. One thing I just wanted to point out in his report here is that Stephen Declan has done a great job. I've received a few comments from residents. Very complimentary of our parks again this summer, and just saying what a great job. And Declan, I mean, it's just neat to see you. That kid, I mean, goes out there and works hard. He's got a bright future. So if you have any questions, call Kevin. Beyond that, on his report. Chief Manis is not here tonight. He's accused. So that brings us to unfinished business. First order of unfinished business is the Prickly Pear Estates, City of East Helena, letter of understanding. Mr. Few iterations of back and forth, and then I've come to a...
Frankly, mostly Brad.
Brad, yeah.
Robert Petcha. We did, Greg, I got your email about the updated letter for June 29th. It was actually in the packet. We printed it out again for the council, so it's here. And it just, if you want to get up and address it, I mean, I can speak to it. It's generally saying that the water system is currently available
a letter
for connection.
So go ahead. Greg, feel free.
Thank you, Mayor Harris. Council members, my name is Greg Worth with City of Langieri. I'm here on behalf of the Prairie Estates, Mr. Gary Oakland, and Landy Leap. And as you know, we're in process with the Montana Environmental Trust Group for a conveyance of the property, Eastfield property, which is south of Highway 12, east of 518. So very large property. You know, even in Montana scale, this is a very significantly sized piece of property for development. So what we have here is a letter of understanding just to, you know, allow for the Prairie Estates to have some comfort as they move into a long-term relationship with the City of East Helena to develop this property. We're going to have land use regulations, zone change, subdivision, so the letter just kind of sets, it has some vagueness, but it gives some level of comfort as Prairie Estates moves into developing the property. We'll need access. Highway 518 is under MDT jurisdiction, but we'll want to partner with the city as we look at the approach permits, any type of improvements that will be needed on 518. We'll need utilities across Highway 12. Currently, Northwest Energy has limited availability in the immediate area to serve this property, but they do have the backbone in the area, but we will need to have utility crossing, so it asks for partnerships, from the city's town to help provide those services. But the bulk of the understanding is water and sewer capacity. So we worked with Mr. Brad Koenig with RPA and Mr. Kevin Orr to look at an interim solution because, the wastewater conveyance system that's there now, it just certainly won't support the full 800 acres. So we're looking at what can it support for an initial development, to try and get the project in, you're not going to develop the 800 acres all at once. It's going to be a 20-some year duration project. So looking at, the financial viability of how this project can happen and set it up for a 20-plus year duration. So working with Brad and Kevin Orr, we've monitored some of the sewer flows and found that with one route, we figure about 350 EDUs, equivalent dwelling unit capacity. So we'll have a lift station, and then we'll pump over to an existing gravity main that will take it over to the wastewater treatment plant. And then also we looked at water, and as long as we can get 350 EDUs for sewer, what are the provisions we need to do to get the same 350 plus EDUs for water? So we do know that there needs to be a water transmission main through the property. There's a 10-inch water main on the west side of 518, but we're going to need another 12-inch on the east side of 518 to support this entire property. But we wanted to look at, if the project was going to be phased, you know, can we make a connection across 518 and across Highway 12, you know, to serve that initial 350 units, 350 EDUs also. And that's what we were able to work with Brad to figure out a solution there. And these will all be reviewed through the subdivision process and the phase subdivision process, but it allows, you know, some a level of comfort for Prickly Pear Estates to know that as we start working on this project, there is this capacity available, you know, and whether it's, you know, this could be up to 5 to some years of initial development, which really helps, you know, makes it economically viable to pursue and, you know, do the rest of the project. So I'm available for any questions the council may have. And again, I want to express thanks for Mr. Elverum, Jeremy Fadness, Kevin Orr, and Brad Cohen with RPA for the assistance.
So what this is saying is that the infrastructure can support 350 initial. So it's not necessarily we have the water rights. That's not contained in the letter. But for the sewer system, essentially, there is quite a substantial investment they'll have to make, getting it underneath 518 and the lift station there. But from there, for the full development, they're going to need a line that goes all the way out to the plant, and they're aware of that. But initially, just to get their feet under them and get the project moving, if they can build that, if they can get under 518, build a lift station, push it through, they can tap into existing sewer mains and get it to the system. And those lines have been assessed to be able to accept about 350 EDUs, equivalent dwelling units, a home, 350 homes. The same for water. The water is not a lift station, it's a 12-inch main. And again, there's a letter here from June 29th that Brad talks about that, and then on the backside is where they show how far they're going to have to extend that 12-inch main. Eventually, that's going to have to go the duration of 518. But initially, just to minimize costs and be a good partner, this is to get them out the door with minimum costs and get them building and able to see some return on their investments and the infrastructure they're putting in. I think this is pretty good on the city's behalf, trying to be good partners with these guys and get them moving. So,
yeah, again, this is just kind of a final letter to Dr. Brad and them hashed out the verbiage of us agreeing to that this is, you know, in vague terms, what we have available through the lines.
And those water rights issues, again, you all are tracking. We have an attorney on retainer that's working on those, and some transition of water rights from METG to us. Some of them are going to NRD or, again, NRD is the correct
in-stream
agency,
flow.
In-stream flow, and some other things they want to do. But we should be seeing a bump in our reserves, our water rights, hopefully. What that ends up being long term, I mean, it's in the courts, but we'll see. Hopefully they come through. More is
better. Is there any public comment regarding the Prickly Pear Estates City of East on a letter of understanding? Okay.
Anyway, I have two questions. One is on the letter of understanding. And reading through it, I'm surprised, I guess, that it wasn't correct, or maybe it was an oversight or whatever, but on 2 and 3, I think that there's one word changed on both of those. I think on 2, down towards probably the last two sentences, it says the process may be the sole financial responsibility of PPE. The need for additional water system improvements as determined through the regulatory review process may be. I think that should be changed to shall be. And the same thing on 3, and it's the last also, same thing. The need for additional wastewater system improvements is determined through the regulatory review process. It says may. I think that should be changed to shall. It could make a big difference in the future. Just one little word from may to shall. So I'm up for if anybody has a problem with changing those two from may to shall. I'd like to know basically what that would be. And the other one was on the tank for the water that, according to this letter, it says There's a 10-inch steel transmission main from the Cullen tank to the city. We need to be upsized to a 16-inch diameter main to continue to provide adequate pressure and fire flows to the city and to the new proposed development. If it's 10 now and they're talking about 12, that's still quite a bit difference in the 16-inch diameter. So that's just something to be thinking about too. If it's going to be changed, maybe it should be changed now instead of down the road. But that's neither for me to say, that's up to you. But those are the two things that I wanted to. Is there any problem with changing the wording on the letter of understanding from made to shall on both of those instances? The big difference in the meaning of the word.
Thanks. Any questions? You guys have any questions for her? Thanks for the comment.
Thank you for the comment.
Thank you for the comment.
Okay, that's all I have.
Any further comment?
That's right, I just put the third time. Get it in 2 minutes. Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale, regarding the letter, item 2. I'm just going to survive since Sally already hit a couple of these items. Regarding item 2, it deals with additional water improvements. Item 3 deals with additional wastewater improvements. Both of those two items say PPE may be responsible for those additional improvements as they move through their phasing processes and the regulatory process. My opinion, it should be changed. The maybes on both items 2 and 3 should be changed to will be, like the items reflected in 4 and 5. If you don't change those from maybe to will be, it's not in the best interest of the current East Helena residents, since they'll be the ones assuming the risk and paying the cost of the subdivision if everything doesn't come to fruition. And as we can tell right now, everything's kind of lagging. It could take off. It may take off. It may not. But in my opinion, this letter of agreement should not have that kind of words in it about maybe. It should be will be. This is all their project. This has nothing to do with the current residents of East Helena. The current residents of East Helena is taking a big chunk of the cost of the new plant and all the upgrades to all the sewer mains.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment regarding the Pickett-Perry Estates City of East Helena letter of understanding? No further comment? Council, any questions or discussion?
So I do have questions because we did talk about this the last time. And is it my understanding that because number 4 identifies that PPE is responsible, the 2 and 3 are strictly for additional potential upgrades?
So in order to service, number 4 talks about, Wes, the need for
to get the utility in the first place.
Right.
And so 2 and 3 then
so
are
two
for future upgrades to the system.
What the language says is the need for additional wastewater system improvements. So I'm on number 3. The need for additional wastewater system improvements as determined through the regulatory review process may be the sole responsibility of PPE at the time of the development of each phase. Essentially what we're doing here, and the issue with the letter is, yes, we're going to partner with these folks. Yes, we're going to do our best to make sure that they have what they need. However, we can't go out on a limb and guarantee we can do all of these things. We're going to assess it through the regulatory process at each phase. We're leaning pretty far forward to tell them, like, yes, we are good partners. We're here to work with you. However, as we go through this, we can't guarantee each and everything you're asking for here in perpetuity. We just can't. There's going to be other users. There's going to be other things that pop up, our budgets, and there's a lot at play here. What it states is that when you come to us during each phase, we'll do our assessment, we'll do our regulatory review, and based on the facts at that time, we will make a determination of what is needed and what is necessary, and that you will be on the hook for it. Now, the reason we say may there is that there may be some system deficiencies already in the system. For instance, the reason we're allowing the lift station and to tie in the wastewater into existing system, like we can give them the clarity now that that's what we can guarantee. Long term, we don't envision, we just know that the system's not going to be able to have the capacity for 2,000 EDUs or whatever they envision eventually being there. But through each phase, we'll make that determination to say that we're going to, at this point, prior to seeing anything in writing or on paper from them, what their needs are, what the impacts will be on the system, to say that no matter what it is, you shall be. This is where municipalities and cities get in a fix and a bind. Frankly, this is part of the reason that a separate line is going to be needed for this, because the rest of the system, if we tell them they can dump their 2,000 EDUs into our system, they just got to get the line there. We don't know how that is going to affect the system downrange. Say that down the line, further towards the plant. Point being that through the development process, they're responsible for their impacts and their needs within their subdivision and their development. However, if there's something that we need to do to serve our current residents through the cities, through some of these lines or the water lines and things, there may be instances in which the city system is not adequate for its current owners, and there may be a share of that project that we'll take on. You can think of like an upsizing, like we'll ask them like, hey, could you potentially upsize this? And we may pay a portion of that upsize because it's going to benefit the rest of the citizens. To say in here that shall is just not appropriate. That's also why the language is frankly not all that determinative on some of the questions here. It is leaving some variance open that as we get to these issues, as they come up, we'll assess them based upon the specific issues that we encounter as they develop the property. For now, we're telling them they have 350 EDUs where they can, as long as they bore under and get the line in, they can tap into the existing system, and we can accept that. We know that 2,000 houses are going to flow. For now, we know that this 12-inch water line, our engineers are telling them that this will be sufficient so they can come up with a cost. Beyond that, we don't know. And there may be, as they put that water line in, some like, hey, we need you to do this here so that we can benefit the rest of the citizens and we can loop these lines. But that's not based upon them and their needs. It's based upon our system and servicing the rest of our residents, and it benefits the whole system. We cannot put that cost squarely on the developer just because they're out there spending money on their needs, but we need to have the opportunity or the ability to work with them as we're working with them now, to talk to them and work in these costs as they've already mobilized construction. Hey, can we just upsize this here or there? Can we make this alteration to benefit the rest of the system? That's why it's May.
And the May does not prohibit us in the future from regulatory requirements of shall.
Absolutely.
No,
not
part I just want to clarify.
Subdivision yeah. process, like any other planning and subdivision process.
Okay, and that's also part of what the development fees will be there to
right. This isn't guaranteed.
Contribute to as well, and with all yeah. development.
Those are. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You answered my question.
Any other discussion? Council. Don, you got anything out there?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I move to approve signing the letter.
Motion to approve is sign the letter as presented.
I'll second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, the ayes have it. Lost my agenda. Getting ahead of myself. All right, next up is the reappointment of the planning board members, Anna Glucker. Just one wing. Amy, you want to kind of handle this, or I can handle this?
Sure. It was on the agenda last time. Anna would prefer not to be reappointed, but was willing if we didn't have anyone else that was interested. And lucky for us, we have someone who's interested. So if you would please let Anna go, and then the new business one, we've got an interested party.
So this instance, I was going to deny Anna's reappointment, correct?
Right.
Is there any public comment on the reappointment of Anna Glucker? Council.
I'll move to deny her reappointment.
A motion to deny the reappointment.
So second.
In a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We don't ever deny things. So.
I know. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming in. Yep.
We appreciate working with you all.
Yep. Thank you.
Well.
Thanks, folks.
All right, and here comes the fun stuff. As we mentioned before, that someone reached out, and that someone is Kayla Madison. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Kayla's with us today. I had a couple brief conversations on the phone with her. Pretty excited about her interests. She's shown some interest in the city's planning board, which is something. And
subsequent to us reaching out to her, she came in a couple times to talk to Amy, and we, on your desk you have a letter of support that was received from the city as well. So barring any other randoms I'm unaware of, the recommendation here is to approve Kayla as a new member of the planning board. And why don't we just give Kayla a moment to introduce herself here in public comment.
Do I have to go to the stage?
Please do so Doc can hear you.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Mayor, Council. My name is Kayla Madison. I am a newer resident of East Helena. I live in Red Fox Meadows. I built a Habitat for Humanity home there. I closed February of 21. And so I'm just kind of getting to know the community, and I want to be involved. And so I reached out and was just seeing what I could be a part of. So that's kind of why I'm here. And I also have two boys that you'll hear throughout the whole time. So they're 6 and 8. And so my friend tonight's keeping them busy. But that's my only thing, is they might sometimes be my additional helpers with a little sarcasm with helpers. But yes, that's me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Any questions, Councilor Taylor?
Thanks for wanting to be a part of things and wanting to be involved.
Is there any other public comment on the appointment of Kayla? Seeing none.
Anna Glucker isn't here for some reason, so I'm wondering.
She's not even a member anymore. She's just been denied.
I'm happy to step up, so thank you for asking. Thank you.
Okay, Council.
I'll move to approve her appointment.
I have a motion to approve the appointment.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The joys of planning board are yours now. Thank you.
Yes.
Here's your Bible.
Wow, it happened so fast.
Here's some light reading for you. Next up on the new business is the 201 South Montana Avenue sewer rate adjustment. It's kind of an interesting one. The old car wash. No longer a car wash, and we didn't do our water assessment properly at the right time in the transfer of job duties between Scott and the former clerk. So we missed that assessment until we got it. There's a refund due here, and that's in front of you. As you know, that they assessed that via the sewer output, and it's a little bit excessive on that. So they came to us requesting a refund, and that is what is in front of you. Amy, do you have any comments on this?
He's been really patient about this. He's been paying the car wash rate, which is a pretty good chunk of money, since he took ownership.
Did you just think that was our rate?
He just went with it, but after a while he kind of questioned it, and then brought up, yeah, it's not being used as a car wash anymore. So
I think if you can imagine opening a business, this is just one of the random bills you're trying to get under and figure out, and also like, God, that's a lot for running an auto shop.
This is just the sewer.
Yeah.
Because they have their own well, so
they do.
Any public comment on the adjusted sewer rate? Seeing none, Council?
Move to approve.
Motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Sorry about that, Donnie. Good job there.
Yeah.
Number three on the new business is the MOU between the City of East Helena, the City of Helena, and Lewis and Clark Public Health. Please help me out and get this one signed. We're last on this one, I think. This is a MOU for public health. Basically, just going forward testing the wastewater to no cost basis. No, we're not going to be paying for any of it. They're covering the costs. We're just agreeing to participate in it still. So, is there any public comment on the MOU between the City of East Helena, City of Helena, and Lewis Clark Public Health? Seeing none, Council.
We used to get reports, even like a quarterly report or something. I don't think a monthly report's needed, but we used to get a report.
So we got them first, and then they put up the dashboard for COVID, and it was all on there.
Gone.
And now the dashboard's gone, so I can reach out to it.
I don't know, just if it's something we're a part of, you
all became automated on the dashboard, and it was all there, and then that just briefly went away. So, I don't know, man. That's a good question. Anything else,
Council?
I have a motion to approve the site fee for the MOU.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thanks, guys. Approved. That brings us to number four, which is the Dorsey and Whitney scope of work. So this is money to go forward with the bonding of the Valley Drive project. Doesn't set forth the time frame on that, am I understanding?
Right. So what you have before you is the Valley Drive project that has been looming, I don't even know if I'd say looming, out there. It's been present in our periphery for years. And this is the process by which we would bond and approve a bond through the voters to actually construct the project. We've spent some money with Staley on developing, I mean, we've gone through a couple iterations, just the initial and the engineering plan, and then the more concise and developed plan that Staley's been working on. And now this is the part, like, how do we actually fund this thing, given the cost? We can't just do it through our road maintenance funds. We just don't have the money for it. But we can borrow the money through a general obligation bond if the public approves it. So this is hiring the bond counsel that helps us through that process, because it is lengthy, I don't want to say litigious isn't the right word. It's just a specific line of work that this Dorsey and Whitney law firm and what is her name, Kristen?
Courtney.
Courtney, we worked with her on this water and sewer stuff. You've heard her. If you've ever been on the call, she's there. She's the bond counsel. This is what she does. What they're stating here, in order to get this thing to the voters, we're not going to make it this year, but generally just to get it up for the voters, put it together, come up with the cost, and run the election. If it were to fail, we'd be out $3,500. So that's on page two, if it were to fail. Again, we do have the contributions from both Highland Meadows and the school district. We've been using those funds to support us moving through the development of the plan. And we'll use those funds again to fund this. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, Amy. But if it were to pass, and we'd actually have to go through and issue the bonds and everything, that jumps from $3,500 up to $20,000 to $30,000. And again, those are paid through the bond proceeds and receipts, so that's actually funded through the bond process, as is that $3,500. But the risk is, not really a risk, we took the money from the school district and Highland Meadows. We're just finally getting to the point where we have a plan that we can effectuate or hopefully put into operation. It's a $3,500 cost is what, on the low end, what we're asking for. High end is 20 to 30, but it's covered by the bond proceeds if we're able to pass it. And that's what this letter talks about. And Courtney's been great to work with. She's worked with us on multiple other projects. Pretty easy to talk to, get a hold of. Great. She chatted through initially years ago with me and almost the former mayor. We just couldn't quite get there as far as moving forward. And we're there now. And I think, as you can all see, it's time. The county's built theirs. We're well behind their timeline and their project. We're a different entity, a much smaller entity, with a different process by which we're going to have to try to fund this thing. So this is the process, and I frankly am pretty excited that we're finally having this on your table. So Staley's got their plan, we got ours. Let's see if we can get this thing done.
You know, time frames are what they are, I think, we're looking at.
Yeah, I think it's the school board.
Yeah.
It's going to fall on the March or May one, whatever that one is, right. Here it is next year.
So that would be our, wouldn't see it to then, and that would possibly give us more time to, for still shaking on the street and a couple others. Definitely will allow us to know if our TDS grant or
whatever. Yeah, grants so, and the grant funding process, some of those to play out.
Firmer knowledge of any other funding that we are able to acquire so that the public has got more knowledge than putting it in November.
There was an option or potential that we could try to rush it, but given the bond or the schedule on some of those grant programs, we would. The hope is to go to the public and ask for what you actually need. If we didn't know the result of some of those funding programs, we would have had to ask for more, and then potentially, if it got approved, we would have we'd be able to reduce the total amount of the bonds that we issued. However, the hope is to put the actual. No BS figure to the public, like, this is what we need, these are the grants we've received, and this is what we're asking you to fund, instead of just having to go higher and then come in lower. And it just makes more sense to bide our time and ensure that, heck, we've waited 5.5 years for this thing at this point. So.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah.
Any public comment on the scope of work, valley bonding, valley rock bonding?
I guess the big thing is before you invest too much money, I think, have you exhausted all your avenues for earmarks, state help, county? And then I guess the other question is the proportionate share has been finalized? Do you have an agreement with the county? Since there's a bunch of county people along that, you got subdivisions, you got everything else that's along there. I mean, if you go back to those planning documents and that, benefit to the average resident of the city of East Elm is about 7% max. The other ones are about 30 to 33% between the school district, the county, and the subdivision over there. So for the city to take on $2.5 million for that little stretch of road, that's a big cost for that little bit of road. And as you can tell, the state's even scaled it back, as you saw in your packet regarding the public works, talking about the state of Montana not allowing you to do an open cut because they're not going to go below the existing subgrade and the existing pavement. That tells you right there that they're living, they've kind of come to the grips that everything is so expensive, you need to start scaling back these projects, and $2.5 million for that little stretch of road when it only benefits this community about 7% max. That's a big financial commitment.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, council.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Now we're back talking about my favorite topic, which is barbecue. This is, as we've mentioned at the time, the application for a blanket license for all the vendors for the East Elm Smoke Show that's upcoming. It's in front of you, kind of self-explanatory. You guys have seen these quite a few times. Who doesn't like barbecue? I would like to point out that once again, this does benefit Impact Montana. It's for a fundraiser, so that is a charitable event. Any public comment on the...
What's the date?
August 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Would you like a flyer?
I mean, it's barbecue. It's so good. Yeah, so, no public comment?
I think it's a good idea because we used to have the barbecue at Crystal Creek every year. We don't have one anymore. The old VFW picnic. We need to have a barbecue.
Gotta have another one.
Here's
I'll move to approve the blanket license.
I have a motion to approve the blanket license. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Now we come to our yearly portion of Pete boring us. Pete bores us with many resolutions of intent for lighting and street maintenance districts. We have four separate resolutions in front of you. Again, every year we're going to have to modify those ones. That's the short version of it. Pete, you want to take it from there?
Yep. So the fun in properly funding these subdivisions, and I want to throw out a shout out to Mr. Jensen that these subdivisions should pay for themselves, and they should pay for their maintenance of their facilities once they're put in. So what we've done here is through each phase one, and now we're on phase two. We're trying to roll in phase three, but we don't have addresses and things yet, so we just can't lean that far forward. But we're trying not to stay in arrears. What we're attempting to do through this process is have a plan to maintain their streets and lighting districts and sidewalks, curb and gutter, so we have the funds on hand when it's time to chip seal them, when it's time to maintain them, that there are funds not coming out of our general right now. I mean, heck, we only fix the streets out of I think it's around $90,000 to $100,000 we have a year to pothole and do other things, is that these new subdivisions are somewhat self-sufficient, that they pay for their services. It's not their home, their taxes they pay on their homes and things come into the general fund for like police and other services. Fire, you can think of anything else that comes out of the general fund. They're paying for water and sewer, but this is a way to capture their street lighting and their maintenance of their streets. So we did phase one of their subdivisions, and now we're coming back and doing phase two. First, we have the lighting special improvement districts, and the MCAs are split out on these things. There's specific rules for lighting and street maintenance, so there's a bit different verbiage and language. The process is fairly the same, though. But so what we're doing here on Resolution 587 is a resolution of intent to modify the Special Improvement Lighting District 101, which is Highland Meadows. As we talked about a couple years ago when we initially adopted it, Highland Meadows and Vigilante are different. Highland Meadows has all those twirly-whirly roads. They have less lights, and they've packed more houses in there. So there's less lights, more houses, so they're taking a lower cost and dividing it by more people. So their cost is a lot lower. Go drive through Vigilante, as I did today, and there's fewer houses, bigger lots, bigger yards and things, but there's also more lights. So fewer houses, more lights equals more cost per resident. The streets are going to be much brighter, but it's just the way it kind of worked out. So again, Resolution 587 is a resolution to modify. It goes through and talks about the MCAs that allow this and some of the things that we're required to do. It talks about some of the attachments which are in your packet, which are the map. It lists out each and every property and what their assessment is going to be. These are monthly. The resolution here on Section 3 tells you it's four lights that we're putting in this Phase 2. The annual cost for the entire district is about $3,500 for their lights, and each property is going to pay $31.08 annually, split out in 12 months. Again, they're going to get these on their taxes, so they'll pay them every 6 months or annually, however they decide to pay it. The process after we approve this resolution of intent, and I'll save us some time on the next ones, is tomorrow we'll put out a public notice. It'll run in the papers on Saturday. We have to do the protest provision, so they have 15 days from the date of that running. We also have to mail out notice to each one of these for the lighting districts. So Vigilante will get two, one for lighting, one for streets, and Highland Meadows will get one for lighting, one for streets. They have 15 days to protest. We'll hold a public hearing on the 15th of August, our second meeting in August, and then all of these properties through the subdivision process waived their protest, the subdividers did, for each one of these lots when they dedicated and they filed with the county and they run with the land, that they can protest and we have to hear them, but we don't count them because they've already consented through the subdivision process. And that, when I say runs with the land, meaning like if some homeowner prior to you did this and filed it with the county and it was recorded on the lot, then you don't have the ability to come back and waive your protest. It's been waived for that lot. So that's what's happened. So we still have to go through those hoops and hold the public hearing. Some people are going to get these letters and not like it and may show up and protest, but we'll have copies of their waiver of protest, like, sorry, sir or ma'am, whoever the property owners may be. To be clear, renters cannot protest. It has to be the actual property owners. Hold the public meeting on the 15th. If it's approved tonight and if it's approved then, it'll go forward and we'll file it with the county and our rates will be adjusted for these for the next year. And then next year when we get phase three, which we'll probably have, frankly, in the next couple months, we'll do this again next year, and then phase four, and then five and six. And eventually when they're done, we just come through annually and just do an annual assessment based upon cost for chip sealing and the actual cost for the electricity that we get from Northwestern Energy each year, and we'll adjust the rates based on that, which doesn't have the creation or the modification process. It just has the annual assessment change process, which is just frankly a resolution that's published, and then we adopt the actual resolution setting the fees, and it just becomes part of the budgetary process. So that's where we're at. This one is for Highland Meadows. It's for four additional street lights. The cost is $3,505.32 for the entire subdivision and $31.08 per house. And I just went through the process that we're going to run through here in the next few days or next few weeks. Any other questions?
First of all, awesome job explaining this arduous process we go through every year. Good job. It's way more complex than you think it would be. To simplify it, this is in place. We just have to modify it to have different lights and more people. That's the simple version. Pizza's long and complex, and we explain the process. But is there any public comment on the resolution of intent to modify Lighting District 101? Seeing none, council.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve the resolution of intent to modify existing lighting district 101.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That brings us to action item 7. Same song and dance. We'll
ran through it once, we should be good. But this is for resolution, existing lighting district 201. To do that again.
582. I will just focus on the numbers here. Again, Vigilante is smaller, but they so they have residents, but they have more lights. And in the letters, you can see you get them from Northwestern Energy. Cost for this one was $158 per light. They have way more lights. In this case, they're just adding five, but there's fewer houses. So it's total cost is $6,926.28 per house annually. It's $144.24 divided by 12, a little more than $10 a month they're going to be paying, which again is in attachment B that you have before you. It's $12.02 per month they will be paying, and they'll have very well lit streets. I don't know if you've driven through Vigilante and seen it, like there are lights on every two or three houses, which is not the way Highland Meadows is. And that's that. Again, we're going to hold four public hearings on all these things on August 15th. So.
Any public comment on the resolution of intent to modify existing lighting district 201? Seeing none, council.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve?
I'll second it.
And a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that brings us to the resolution of intent to modify existing street maintenance district 101.
So this is, again, Highland Meadows. It's resolution 589. The process, they have, I don't know why they do this, but it's a different set of MCAs for street maintenance districts, but it's a little more drawn out, but it's the exact same process. I'm going to spend more time writing it out. It just talks about the streets. We just added a couple more streets, two more courts, Lamont Court and Kinrose Court. I drove through them today. You can go look at them. There's houses going in. There's addresses and everything. It talks as we get on onto the second page here on part six, the annual cost for this. So we're collecting for this in the next year $33,802.11. And if you were to look at the annual assessment, so one thing to say is the street maintenance districts, the exhibit B on lighting was monthly, and for the street maintenance, it's annual. So they'll pay about $299.13 annually, each one of these houses, towards keeping their streets nice. The assessment or the way we're assessing the cost of that $33,000 throughout the subdivision is just their. We talked about this last time. They're all single-family homes. They all have generally three to four houses. They all have a two-car garage and a driveway generally. It's all generally the same use. So everyone, instead of doing like road frontage or doing square foot of the lot, we just did everyone's getting a single-family home. Everyone pays a proportionate share that is equal to everyone else. And in this subdivision, that comes out to be around $299.13 annually. Again, if you can imagine the rest of the residents in town as we begin to see these streets be maintained like this, that's because they specifically pay an extra thing on their property taxes. It's not a tax, it's an assessment, but whatever, it's all from the government. But you get nice streets every so often, and if things go wrong, we're able to fix them. Whereas in the rest of the town, we gotta pinch pennies and figure things out. So here it is. This is 101 Highland Meadows.
Is there any public comment on the resolution of intent to modify the existing street maintenance district number 101?
Dave Jensen, 401 Whiskey. The only thing I'm not seeing, I don't see it again this time. With those windy streets and that, I was talking about the snow removal. I see that you have the snow plowing and the snow removal cost in those figures. But what I don't see is a proportionate share, a significant proportionate share of the brand new truck that was just purchased this year, along with the snow plow and the sander, because we all know that we're not going to be able to get the big trucks through there. And so we ended up buying up. To do parking lots, and specifically I know for that subdivision out there, but I don't see a line item for that, and in my opinion the residents and those people out there should pay a significant proportionate share of that one truck, sander, and plow.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment?
I actually just thought of that myself. I was asking the officer, the chief, about that. It seems to me that you're going to have people, you have to plow those streets, and that's not going to be cheap. And so I'm glad that Dave brought that up, because it's important that you consider that too. I think it's important, and I was going to comment before Mr. Oakland spoke. Part of the reason I came tonight was because I'm concerned that these folks, they're making a lot of money off this project. I mean, we're glad to have them. But you folks this is a time and a place to make important decisions to, and I'm glad that you're doing this with the lighting and the various charges, that you assess them for what they're going to receive. And they're going to receive a lot in their development. I'm not real conversant with the whole situation, but I just do know that it's an important time, and I appreciate that at least Dave has taken the time to kind of look at what those costs might be. And I think we need to be sure, because East Helena residents, as you said, as Peter said several times, you know, like we're living in the cheap district here where we can't get our streets done. Well, and we're going to look out here at this beautiful new development, and we're going to pay for that. And we're going to all be helping pay for that if we don't assess them appropriately so that they take care of it. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you for your public comment. Any further public comment on the resolution of intent to modify the existing street maintenance district number 101? Seeing none, council.
Move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
I will just say, I know it wasn't proffered, but I just want to touch on it. And for this Highland Meadows one, snow plowing, $3,262.50. Snow removal, $7,040. Sanding, $1,833.75. It's over $12,000 these people are being assessed for snow removal and sanding that the rest of the residents get for free with just their housing.
Well, we went through this assessment process in detail through multiple meetings, correct?
This has been fleshed out. And
so make no mistake on that truck. Yeah. It was paid for by prior years, and it's being used in the other part of the town as much or more.
There is proportionate cost.
We need to get done.
And there's additional costs when we get to the next resolution that Vigilante is also paying. So we're doing a much better job. The point with the old town residents is that this is something above and beyond. And that these SIDs can be created in a couple different ways. The council can do it. The subdividers can do it. Or on petition of the actual residents. So once they see these services and understand, like, why are we not getting chip sealed? Why are our streets not being fixed? Well, these people pay for the specific service. And the annual assessment. So as I said, as these things grow out and once we actually finish these subdivisions, it'll just be an annual process by which we adopt the next year's assessment based upon cost, actual cost that we're seeing for chip sealing, snow plowing, and sanding. But the rest of the residents, we don't have a line item. We're not going to be able to spend these funds that these folks pay anywhere else in town. We'll be able to pay proportionately for a truck. So if that little truck ends up doing 80% of the work out there, I don't know what that figure may be. Part of that truck in the man hours, and Kevin does a pretty darn good job splicing these things out. The cost that they actually, the services that they actually receive will be broken out and paid for through their assessments. But you get what you pay for.
And there were certain things we could and could not include in this by law.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
Yep.
So we did what we could.
So you see street signs and things, so people hitting street signs, which you know happens in wintertime, sliding through intersections and stuff. You see snow plowing, chipping sidewalks and curb and gutter, like all that's contained in here. And then the rest of the town, we just get to it when we prioritize it above all the other things that pop up.
It's also real handy when you start with these assessments with new stuff. You post our old stuff.
Right.
So we're leaning forward. I have a motion.
As opposed to waiting 5 or 6 or 8 years until it's finally built out and doing it one time and just saving all the hassle, we would be passing up on the ability to assess these folks who are living there and enjoying this stuff and beating up those roads. So as annoying as, well, not annoying, probably annoying for me, you guys just got to listen to me spit at you, but eventually, once this is all done, it becomes much simpler, and we're not missing out on 6 to 7 years worth of revenue by which those roads are already dated and been trafficked on with all the construction and everything and need some repairs. Those funds are already accumulating, so that's why we're here.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Number 9, resolution of intent to modify the existing street maintenance district number 201.
So this is Vigilante. Again, the streets, there's fewer houses on, frankly, wider streets that service less houses. It's not as stark as the lighting, but it's a total cost of $12,566.39. If you were to look at the exhibits, Exhibit B, that breaks out to a cost of $261.80. So honestly, these guys are paying around $38 less a month or annually than Highland Meadows. Their costs are broken out on Exhibit C here. Snow plowing, sanding, chip sealing, crack sealing, curb and sidewalk repair, crosswalk maintenance, painting and stuff. catch basin cleaning, because they do have catch basins and stuff, which is stormwater retention coming off of these streets. The same was in Highland Meadows. Storage pond maintenance, street sign maintenance, county street sweeping, because we do annually pay them to come out and sweep in the spring. City administration fee, which probably is too low given that how much time we spend on this thing, and Amy's time administering these things going forward. So in the future, that may be need to be looked at. And then improvement district creation, the 7 years, it's just the cost that we put in here for just initially creating this thing each time. Again, probably too low. But eventually, they'll be on the books, and they won't be a burden for the rest of the residents, but they will have a nice, tidy little subdivisions with nice streets that are well lit.
Any public comment?
One last thing I'll say is they waived SIDs on numerous other things. We did not do the parks yet, because one, the parks have not been dedicated in either one of these, and it's harder to do an SID for a park by phase when we're probably, frankly, you can do an SID and tie it to a bond, so that Dorsey, Whitney, and Courtney will probably do that. We're working on, you've approved a parks plan for these subdivisions. They're working on the parks plan. What that will eventually become is the basis by which we adopt an SID on each one of these subdivisions. So you guys will get to pick and choose. Like, we want grass, we want topsoil, we want sprinklers, we want some picnic tables and a play set. The Highland Meadows, if you recall, through the subdivision process, we had them stub out water and wastewater so that we can put drinking fountains or a little bathroom there out at that playground, but they've not dedicated it yet. And even when they do dedicate it in phase three, it doesn't seem equitable to me to, we need to pass a bond and we want to spread it to everyone in that subdivision that benefits from that centrally located little park. So we need to wait until each one of those lots, completion of the subdivision, we'll come back and use that parks plan as the basis to pass an SID and a bond with the bond council. And then that bond will pay for the initial, and so we'll take out a loan tied to the bond that these residents then pay for through their SID assessment that pays for the initial infrastructure that's put in and then the long-term maintenance of it. But so there's a process by which, and I think we've done a good job by you and the rest of the residents to ensure that these facilities are paid for. I just wanted to draw the distinction. There's some other things, whether the street ends up, the crosswalks and the lighting stuff on Valley Drive in the future that becomes we need to put a street light out there. They've waived some other improvements as well. But for now, these are the three main ones, the park, the lights, and the streets. But the parks we're waiting until it's fully built out, if that makes sense. Okay.
Thank you, Pete. Is there any public comment on the resolution of intent to modify the existing street maintenance district number 201? Seeing none, council.
Move to approve.
Motion to approve.
I'll second it.
In a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Now we're to the boring part, the mayor's report. Well, we haven't been together for a while. We had some time. Mayor's report. Start with the most recent thing. We had a little meeting here yesterday, with the players involved with the fire department merging. And we had a deputy director of Impera here to discuss retirement and some sort of hurdles we may be dealing with that. Making sure we're getting that, doing everything right on that process, we can take care of our guys. So we got to get back to them, and we're going to work with him and their lawyer to make sure that this is a process that we can get the retirement people take care of. That was an interesting meeting, two of the time. Pretty good meeting, I think. We got a shot here, making it work, though. Went to the rodeo, braved my allergies. I'm allergic to every single thing at the rodeo, except for that beer garden that didn't do me at all. I got to go to the rodeo parade. I was a judge for that. Great turnout for that again this year. And the rodeo, man, I think I've never seen that many people there. I haven't been to it many times. But never seen that many people there. Stop, don't take it. It was crazy. I saw Wes. It was so many people. It was, what a turnout, wow. Obviously, 4th of July, sure everyone had fun. It was great turnout for that as well. Didn't see too much massive crime going on. Nobody blew up any house that I'm aware of. That's handy.
Didn't lose a toilet.
We
did lose a toilet.
Hey, every 80s movie, though. it's an attractive nuisance.
It's 40 years ago.
Right, that's a fact.
Hey, those are coming back, though. I saw a kid in an acid wash jean jacket today, and I'm like, I have that.
He was definitely the toilet blower.
Right. I think I'm sure he's watching like Caddyshack or something. But anyway, great time was had by everyone in the city at the fourth. I really compliment Shelley and all the work she did in her team putting that together. You're part of that as well. Just it goes unnoticed by those who are watching, but there's a lot of fundraising that goes in, and really, really appreciate the efforts of those people to make that happen in this town. Tradition that matters to me and that others, so super important. You guys are probably all tired of me pestering with budget calls. We've been working on that a lot. We're making some headway. It's a battle, but we're working on it. It's probably the biggest time consumer of the bunch. And a board of health meeting ahead in there, and that was about it. Any questions for me? No? Cool. All right, council member reports. Council member Dahl, what you been up to, man?
As little as possible. But the only thing I got is I've been contacted by residents on the cars, the parking, and the double parking, and HOA on Washington Street for, you know, can't see around corners when they're driving through. You know, and some other right-of-way issues. But as for committee reports, I have none.
Chief Sanders is currently writing in his notepad.
Yes.
Thanks, Dottie Boy.
You bet.
Councilmember Leland.
I have nothing to report. I don't think I did a darn thing.
All right. Councilmember Feist.
For the 4th of July fireworks, is there something that we could even do for Shelley Small, a citation from the city? Something just to say thank you. Not a bad citation.
I will say this. We could certainly do something like that, but I know that the city contributes an amount to that, and there's been, in one of the council members has suggested increasing that in my budget talks with them.
What I mean in particular to for her, for her work in fundraising.
Yeah, maybe we can probably see if we can get something there.
It was great. Was invited through the chamber, but it was kind of for my other job too. Did a community leader visit at Boeing, and they do them often, but this one was just to. They're hoping to yet again increase their workforce, they look to East Helena Public Schools as well as public schools. They too would love to see additional potential traffic opportunities between the airport and East Helena because of workforce as well. So as Town Pump continues, if there's ever the opportunity, they would love to help and support that. East Helena Rodeo went to that, of course, in the parade. Yeah, there were a lot of people, and the police officers did a great job. The sheriff's department was there. I asked Officer Taboo how things were going, and he said, good, we need to also be across the street, but everyone seems to be here. And I said, it seems like everyone is here. So anyway, but they did a good job, and was glad that it was orderly, being the last one there. Did also another thing that I was invited to, and Superintendent Rispins was there too, and he actually had a great lengthy conversation with the gentleman about the JROTC program, but we met with Major General Matt Baker. He's the commander of the Army Reserve for 19 Western states, he came to Helena for the first time and wanted to learn from the community. I'm invited to these things on behalf of the chamber, and it was good, and then again, Superintendent Rispins had a pretty lengthy conversation with him about some obstacles with the JROTC program and hopes to remedy some of that. Had a MBAC board meeting today. I'll make some copies of this and put it in your boxes. There was the House Bill 819 for the Creates a Montana Community Reinvestment Plan. There's an opportunity for housing where it's kind of like a statewide Habitat for Humanity program, in a sense, where there's a 30% equity owned by a third party, aside from the bank or the homeowner. And MBAC could be that lender. So it would help with more affordable housing. It's a trust fund program that's a one-time only. So anyway, I'll put some stuff in your box. They're still fleshing out how it's going to actually go because the language and the legislation is vague. So they're still trying to figure out some things. But good opportunity, hopefully, for future affordable. And then have a chamber meeting tomorrow. So if you have anything, call that.
Thank you. Councilmember Ferguson?
We were out of town for the rodeo, so that's probably why you only had one arrest. And then my dog did not enjoy the fireworks this year, so we had to give him extra trazodone and sit inside and pet him. But we got through it. I went to the farmer's market today. It was great. I bought like $25 worth of produce, so
nice.
I'd have to do some cooking. But
I don't have the rolls here, though, and I told him that they should not come to East Town without the bread.
Oh.
And he said you can only get it on Saturdays, and they're not much for teasing.
Oh, they're no. No, they're no.
I tried to trade for a bottle of wine. No luck either. You can't buy it. You got to trade.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
It's good, though.
And that's all I have.
Thank you, Councilor Ferguson. All right. Pete, you want your soapbox back?
No, I'm going to keep it short. We got our SIADs moving, which is nice. We'll get better at it as we go through with the budgeting process in the years coming forward and just become kind of what we do. Court's good. Had one guy cause quite a big ruckus, but he finally got himself detained for a long time, so that'll be nice. Push that all up to the counties and the felony world now. Good for him. Moving on up.
Graduated.
Pretty happy about that. Yeah, things are good. The officers are doing great, and just working through stuff. Miss Kevin, glad he's taking time off.
Thanks, Pete. That's our lead us to payment of the bills.
I have one question about the bills. What's the Montana Board of Housing?
Is that the refund of overpayment?
Did it state it later? I missed that.
It might have.
It's on the first page.
It was, they took over the payments for utilities on a house, and in the closing process of selling the house, ended up sending us too much, so
gotcha.
Sent it back.
Okay, thanks.
I'll move we pay the bills.
Motion to pay the bills.
Second.
And second, all those in favor?
Aye.
All right, that being said, I will adjourn this meeting at 7:52.
Payment to Drenda.
Okay.